And good evening, everyone. Welcome to St. Joe. Mitch Holtis with you, the voice of the Chiefs and the long snapper extraordinaire, Kendall Gammon. We're fired up to bring you the game on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network coming up Friday night. And you'll be on the Superdome floor bringing that to you. The Chiefs had one more practice today here in St. Joe. Then they have a mandatory day off, Kendall. Then they got a little walkthrough that they'll do Thursday and then go right to the plane and then fly to New Orleans. So here we are. Got through the dog days, pushed through these six straight days in pads, and now all of a sudden, here it is with the New Orleans preseason game. Just kind of what about pushing through this? They got through today, but you kind of felt like that. Get through it and then go to New Orleans.
Well, you did describe it perfectly. It was the dog days. You got through it. You can see a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, of course, you've got the day off to help get your legs under you. Essentially, you have another day off on the travel, even though you're going to have some walkthrough. So that's a good thing. And then from here on out, you're playing a game each week, so you have something to look forward to as a player. You have new blood to go and hit each week, so that's a good thing. I thought it was a good energy out there today. Again, Chiefs Kingdom stepping up and coming out to support them just like always. And like I said, that means so much to the players because you do draw a lot of energy from that. So all in all, a good day.
Great point. In the fact that when Andy Reid announced that the practices would be at 8:15, everybody was kind of like, ooh. Now people adjusted. I mean, this was a Tuesday. Of course, the weather was fabulous, but another great crowd out there. And just before we get into talking about the New Orleans game in specific, a lot of pistol work today. Now, don't go crazy. This is not a team that's going to run the pistol all the time, but they did do a lot of repping today in the pistol. Just your thoughts on the pistol offense.
Well, you've got Chris Salt in here, who the innovator of it, and I think it's a super move. But, yeah, let's be realistic. You're not going to make a habit of it, but the fact is it can help you in a lot of different situations. Certainly Chase is fabulous at running it as well. I'm not going to put it past you that you couldn't do some different things with him every once in a while. But the big thing I see is if you have it in your package, Mitch, and you know this, if it's in your package, then the other team has to prepare for it. And whether you use it a lot or not, if they have to spend time preparing for it, then they're not spending time preparing for something else. So it's just a bigger package, and it's a good thing. It has its place. Of course, you know, there are a lot of teams running it more and more, but when it comes down to it, I still think we have the conventional offense going.
Yeah, and both of these quarterbacks, the top two, can run. That's the thing that's apparent. And Alex Smith, I think it's very underrated in how adept he is at running the football. He can run and take off and go for this whole smoke, and he's fast. Okay, now let's get into the New Orleans game. Andy Reid talked about it a little bit, but I mean, don't expect a whole lot of game planning here. But I had a good deal of time with him today. He wants to play well, obviously. The preseason games, the old mantra is, they don't count, but they matter. But this is also a franchise. I asked him this. I said, this is a franchise that's 3-17 in preseason games the last 5 years. I mean, some of these have been embarrassing. He wants to play well in all phases. Anybody that's on the field, he says, they need to expect to win. He won't put the first team back into winning the game, but he wants to win this game.
Well, you're right, and he does have a plan. And the plan overall is to be able to evaluate everybody, not only the first team, but going all the way down to the second team and the third team. But you're right. It doesn't count, but it does matter because winning does become a habit, and you look at the past and how the Chiefs have started out in preseason. It's been a little bit telltale of things, but to your point to begin with is, yeah, I don't expect that you'll see much in the way of anything crazy offensively or defensively. You've got to practice some things, but you're going to hold some things until game one. But in the end, you just want to see how the guys are going to perform as a unit to begin that first game.
You know, I'm impressed with this coaching staff, but I'm interested to see how this will go Friday night. I want to ask you this, because preseason games for coaches are a study in logistics, if nothing else. You want to evaluate, but Andy has said everybody that's healthy, and there were 84 healthy guys today practiced, they're all going to get on the field. I mean, how much of a sense from a coaching staff do you get in preseason games of organization, detail? Because sometimes preseason games can look like a fire drill.
Well, make no mistake, Andy Reid's got a plan. He'll have the details spelled out. I would venture to say on the walkthrough that they'll go through how they're going to do some things pregame. You know what? The one thing that we haven't talked about, which I think is important, and I have no doubt that Coach Reid is paying attention to, is just just the eyes and the body language during a game, wanting to see how players respond. I've been, in my 15 years, I've seen a lot of guys be great out on the practice field, and then in the bright lights and with the peanuts and the popcorn, all of a sudden they tighten up a little bit. And I guarantee you somebody who's as detailed as Coach Reed is recognizing all of that. So there's a lot of things going on, both performance and how you hold yourself.
Everybody's ready to play. Saints are ready. Chiefs are ready. Andy Reid's ready. But just get ready. Andy gives you a little bit of an idea of what he plans on doing.
Now, listen, I think teams are very vanilla in the preseason. I think that they just want to get a clear evaluation of their players, and then during the season it's a whole different ball game. So during the season you know you're going to get the full package, and it's quite a bit different than what you do during the preseason.
Again, Coach Reed told me today too that he wants to get everybody on the field. To look at them. And we're going to quickly go right to David Coley. David's an impressive guy. Coaches the wide receiver, assistant head coach with his title. But he kind of gives an idea of what they, because you always wonder how much time the starters are going to get. But it appears, and David's going to talk about it, but I'm going to get, before we get to that, it looks like it's basically quarter for this first game. When you hear that, what do you hear?
You know what? I think they want to see everybody play, even the starting QB. You know, some people might think you only put them in for a series or two. I like the fact that you're giving them all a quarter, both the first string and, you know, the guys that are fighting for it on the third string. So I think it is a very, very good thing. And then with that, you're going to see different units perform with each other. So that will be interesting as well. So, you know what, as they move forward and they get into the game, you get a feel for things. Things could change. Quite honestly, if they had a couple of good drives, you might see them come out a little bit earlier. If they struggled a little bit, you might even see them play a little bit more. That wouldn't surprise me. You have a feel for the game. But in general, I like how they're doing it.
All four quarterbacks are going to get to play. I mean, that's and again, it doesn't quite – I mean, some of the drives spill over. Mm-hmm. And so it's not – at the end of the first quarter, you're in the middle of a drive, you don't run Alex out there and Chase in there. But – they want to see all four of these quarterbacks. They want to see Ricky Stanzi, and they want to see Tyler Bray. And to me, that's one of the more interesting aspects of this game. What do you think?
No, I agree, because if you just look back, let's be real. Ricky's not had as much success as he would like in the past preseason game, so he's looking to prove something. Tyler's looking to prove something also. They both know they're fighting for that one spot, so that's a very contested position. And let's be honest also, during camp, number 11 gets a lot of reps. Number 10 gets not quite as many. And then 9 and 12, they get one or two at a time. So they've got to be ready. This is going to be out of their norm, I think, to a degree, because they've not been taking this many reps at a time if they happen to put string together, I guess, some long drives.
Becomes an intriguing game for the backup quarterback, Chase Daniel. Of course, he spent the last several years in New Orleans backing up Drew Brees. He's only thrown 9 passes in an NFL regular season, but he's played a lot in the preseason, and he had good preseason numbers the last 2 years for the Saints. But for Chase, this just isn't any regular preseason game. In a way, Chase is going back to a bunch of friends and people that are special to him that he shares a Super Bowl ring with.
Chase, you're going back to Superdome?
Yeah,
like
no.
Going home?
It is. I'm excited to get back there, see all the fans that were so loyal to us for 4 years that I was there. See old teammates, see the coaches, see everybody. So it'll be fun. I'm excited about it.
You went through the whole crazy season last year down there. Is there any way for anybody outside to really understand what was going on inside?
It's hard to. You know, all the people outside see is what you guys write and the stories that are out there. You know, it was definitely a tough year. It was one of the toughest years professionally. I mean, in my short career I've been through. But I think we handled it pretty well. You know, ended up almost getting 500, and it's hard when you lose your rock and your head coach, like Sean Payton is down there. You know, I think Drew put a little bit of extra pressure on himself to fill sort of that player and the head coach void, and it just, you know, last season didn't turn out like we wanted to.
So it's a preseason game.
Yeah.
How raucous? What's it going to be like when Sean Payton does take the, you know, lead his team into that?
Yeah, well, I talked to the ticket guy a couple days ago. It's sold out. I mean, it's Sean Payton's first game back really in like 2 years. And you know, the New Orleans fans love their football. So it doesn't matter if it's preseason, offseason, Super Bowl, regular season, they're going to be out in full force. So it's going to be loud.
Okay, we have a question from you, and we appreciate those. It's actually a question I also had, because to me, of the list of things that we're going to look at and discuss during this game on Friday night, to me, really numero uno in this is protection and the offensive line. Not just the first group, but the second group and the third group. There are 15 offensive linemen on this team right now, 12 are healthy. But Rob Ryan's the defensive coordinator for New Orleans. This will be kind of a juiced-up game for them.
Right.
Sean Payton was out all year. They think they're in purgatory. Whoops, here they come. They're all coming back. But New Orleans won't throw the kitchen sink at them, but it's Orion, okay? What about protecting not just Alex Smith, but we saw Chase Daniel going right on down the line. What are the keys to protection in this game specifically?
Well, you know what? I think it's understanding your role and what you need to do, not trying to overextend and reach. I think when it comes down to it, if anybody's having some issues, you'll have a back or a tight end either chip or stay in. This scheme will protect the QB. If the front five are having an issue, and you know they very well could at times, you'll see other things done that I think is in the scheme to help take pressure off of it. But again, I guess, you know, I think where this question really comes from a little bit is people have talked about, you know, 72 having some issues with things.
Meaning Eric Fisher.
Yeah, Eric Fisher. And what you have to understand is, and I'm not giving him a free pass, folks, but what I'm saying, when you get in a game and now all of a sudden the run and the pass are equally there and you've got other things going on and you've got a tight end lined up next to you and you've got bumpers on either side, it changes a lot. Believe me, it is much easier to pass block in a game than it is in one-on-one. I guarantee you that. So I'm looking forward to see how Eric responds. And quite honestly, I'm looking forward to seeing how the first unit responds and communicates as a unit the first time together.
Another question from you deals with Alex Smith and Jamal Charles, and that is kind of the chemistry between the two. We said meshes are important. Trying to look at timing. And Doug Peterson, I talked to him today, and he said the timing's getting much better with this offense. What have you noticed, though, specifically in Alex's chemistry with Jamal Charles?
Let's go back to what you said, Mitch, in terms of the mesh. We haven't seen fumbles on the ground from handing it off. I can't remember one between them. So that's a good thing. You know, Alex, 4 or 5 days ago, when asked about Jamal, he talked about the fact that, you know what, when I came in here, of course, I knew Jamal could run the ball, but I've really been taken back a bit in the terms of the fact that you can split him out and he can play wide receiver and he can do so many different things. And, of course, he is going to do so many different things. It doesn't surprise me that they're getting along well and they're gelling because number 11, Alex Smith, to me, is just a natural-born leader. He gets it. I mean, he gets it, folks. He really does. So this is the guy that you want behind the center. And he knows how to bring the team together. I think he's doing a great job, and that's only going to get better as the preseason and into the regular season rolls on.
New Orleans is a special place to Kansas City Chiefs fans. It's the site of the only world championship in franchise history. We talked about Jamal Charles. Last year he went for 91 yards. That's the longest run in Chiefs history. But it's also a special place for a Chiefs rookie linebacker. Nico Johnson, of course, winning 3 national championships with the Alabama Crimson Tide, had some huge games inside the Superdome. Now, we talked about Nico about a week ago. Let's revisit him somewhat. What are you seeing from Nico Johnson, and is he doing the ascending thing he needs to do in this camp?
I think he is. You talked to him earlier in the day, and he talked about the fact that he's getting in with the ones a little bit, happening to know some pass coverage stuff as well. He's aware of the fact that he's got to know a lot of different things and really have his head and nose in the playbook rather. I love the fact of the angles he takes. You know, we've seen him come up sometimes and stuff the run, and I mean he does it with authority. And they don't say he's a thumper for nothing. That guy can flat play the run. I think he expects more of himself. I think he talked about the fact that, you know what, the other linebackers are holding him, quite honestly, to a higher standard He's embracing it, and I love that. And you should love it as well, because that's what you want in a middle backer.
This is a cerebral guy. He is willing to learn, and we had a chance to talk to Nico Johnson.
How excited are you, though? I mean, the first game in the Chiefs uniform to be out there as a pro.
I'm very excited. It's going to be something special to me because, you know, you never get – you know, not a lot of people get this opportunity. And once I put that jersey on in the Superdome, I'm going to be proud. You know, I'm going to go out and do everything it takes for my team to get the win.
You going to have some visitors? You got a lot of tickets?
Nah, just my grandmother and my two little nephews going to come to the game. But other than that, it's just going to be a small little visit.
And your grandmother's been your rock, right?
She has. She's been my rock ever since my mom passed 4 years ago. So, I mean, she's everything to me right now. And so, you know, besides my teammates and myself, I go out and play for her every day.
Interested to see how he'll do as well on all the rookies on Friday night.
Yeah, it's interesting that his first game in a Chiefs uniform is going to be an away game in New Orleans, yet he's going to feel at home there. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you, you can't help but be impressed by that guy and how he holds himself.
Well, we're going to go right in your wheelhouse after the break. You know, we've taken a position in the battles. We've done this now for over a week. And now we're going to, as we get ready for the New Orleans game, look at the special teams and the specialists, if you will. And that is what you do, okay? So we're going to check in with the professor, Snapalicious. When we come back, we'll check in with the specialists of the 2013 Kansas City Chiefs after this.
This is a dorm room, but it's not an ordinary dorm room. Here, the lights are on at sunrise, and they're off at dark, because at this school, the last thing you want to do is fail. This is Chiefs training camp at Missouri Western State University. Classes are now in session.
Back as we now get into the specialists of this team. And before we do that, we've had a question from some of you about Austin Lane. This guy has caught the eye of a lot of the fans who have come here to St. Joe. The Chiefs picked him up in mid-June. He was released by Jacksonville, played some for the Jaguars out of Murray State. But I think this is a nice segue into special teams, because when I see that guy, I see a potential special teamer. He blocked 9 kicks in his high school and college career. He kind of has that kick blocker look to me. What do you see in Austin Lane?
Yeah, and some people just have that knack for it, and I wasn't aware of that until you just told me, but that is a big deal, and certainly special teams, which we're going to talk about here in a moment, is a big deal with the Chiefs this year, as it should be. When you look at him on defense, however, I think he's done a nice job. He's shown the ability to put on a good pass rush from both sides. I think he's a guy that has a chance to really make this team if he continues to show and flash and do the things that he's been doing in training camp. But he has to continue. He has to do that on the field, and it'll be interesting. That's definitely one that's worth watching, because, like you said, if he can make a difference on defense and help out as well, he could be a four core also, because the guy runs really, really well. He's very, very agile for as big as he is. So, yeah, that will be an interesting one to watch for sure.
And keep in mind, Dave Tobe, the special teams coordinator, wants to block kicks. He wants to be explosive. Before we get into his personnel, I think no discussion of special teams can start without starting with Dave Tobe. The fact that this guy was, some think now, the new, you've been with Bobby April, you've been with some of the best special teams coaches in this league, but some think Tobe is right now at the top of the list. His decision, I want to be with Andy Reid, I want to go to Kansas City. What are you seeing so far from Dave Tobe?
you know what, he's got the players' complete attention. And to a degree, some of it's tough because, you know, he's doing this at the end of practice where the guys are spent and worked and have had a long, tough practice. I love that, too, because now you get to test their mental makeup and see if they're going to pay attention and really focus on something that's a third of the game. So I like what he's doing. I like his approach to it. He wants to attack. He wants to create field position. He wants to create turnovers. All three of those are music to my ears.
And let's be honest, it is one of the most overlooked parts of last season. The longest punt return was 27 yards. The longest kick return was by Sean Drone. That was 41 yards. This team has not returned a punt for a touchdown since Dexter McCluster did it in the 2010 opener against San Diego. They have not returned a kick for 4 years, and that was Jamaal Charles going 97 yards against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This team lacked explosiveness. They had one explosive play last year in special teams. Sean Drone blocked a punt by Michael Conner of Tampa Bay, and Edgar Jones was able to kind of pick up this lateral from the Tampa Bay punter. That's it. In 16 weeks, they had one explosive play on special teams, and what you're saying is Tobe wants to change the whole aura about it because there are some teams that will get to the playoffs because they're the best special teams squadron, if you will, in the National Football League.
Mitch, you're right, and when you talk about the three phases, offense, defense, and special teams of a game, we've talked about it several different times in the past. Offense or defense are going to be up and down week to week. I mean, they're still going to be performing, but the one constant you have to have is special teams. It's got to be there. I can almost guarantee you, for the most part, if you lose the special teams game, your percentages of winning go way, way down. So, you know, to me, creating field position for the offense, creating great field position for the defense in terms of giving them a long field. Coach Reed talked about the fact that, I think Coach Tobe talked about it also, the longer you have to go, the percentages go so far down. You start inside the 20, which our punter is fabulous at doing. I mean, it's under 20% that you have a chance to score. So those things, they're the little things about the game that people don't always talk about, but they're so important.
Yeah, you got to block kicks, you got to return kicks, and you can flip a game like you mentioned. Dave Tobe did have a chance to talk. This guy's an impressive guy, and when you watch him on the field, you understand that he could sell DVDs and give seminars on doing it. It's a great thing that he's here, and expect special teams to change.
Big thing that's standing out to me is how hard the guys are working. Our period right now during training camp, for the entire training camp, is at the end of practice. So and they know that, and they're finding a way to dig down and give us that extra effort right at the end, and we're really finishing strong at every practice. So it says a lot about the character of our guys and how bad they want to win. Yeah, he's doing better, and we've kept him after practice 3 days, you know, catching extra balls on the jugs. His big thing is focus. I mean, he's never really done it, you know, in college. So we're trying to utilize his talents as, you know, as a big guy that can run fast, and try to, you know, we're really thinking we can develop a kick returner. So it's going to take a little time, and we're looking forward to seeing him in some preseason games when the bullets are live.
Yeah, you mentioned the games. What are you looking for in New Orleans game?
We're looking for guys securing the football, making sure that they have courage, hitting it north and south. You know, good catches, catching the ball on the front foot, not chasing the ball late, not panicking because the coverage is coming down. I mean, especially on punt returns. Right now, I really believe we have two punt returners. You know, kind of tangent on that, but we have two punt returners that I feel good about right now, Dexter and Wiley, and we have a lot of other guys that are still developing as far as ball reads go. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, as we go through these next preseason games, actually the first three for sure, seeing exactly what we have in the depth.
Okay, I'm charged up about a lot of things. I'm real charged up about this guy.
I'm ready to go gnaw on bricks right now. I'm going to tell you right now, he gets it going. And that's what you want from a special teams coach. You get him going on the field. That's awesome.
You just freeze when you see him go out there and go, wow, that is awesome when he coaches. Yeah, he mentioned Niall Davis as a kickoff returner. Your thoughts on Niall winning that job if he can, and can he be the explosive kick returner that Dave Tobe had in Chicago when he had guys like Devin Hester?
Well, I think he can. At 5'10", 230, I like those measurables. The fact that he runs a sub 4'4", 40 at that size is incredible to me. I think they want to be very sure and be able to trust him to hold on to the ball like you would with anybody. But I think this preseason for him is going to be important on that standpoint. not only for him, I guess, getting the job, but to me, for the Chiefs, because you want field position. The Chiefs averaged starting with the ball overall at the 28-yard line last year, which was on the bottom half of the league. Now, that's not the kickoff. That's taking into account everything. They actually were just inside the 20, I think, on average start for the kickoff. So you want to improve on that because you do not want to give your offense an 80-yard field every time after a kickoff return.
Yeah, for you old-school Chiefs fans, Niall a little bit. He's a little bit shorter, but he'll remind you of a Tamarick Vanover because he's got that kind of size, blend, and speed. And those of you who remember, just, hey, you can Google it and look at some of those returns. Goodbye. See you later. Now, punt returns. Right now, a lot of guys are auditioning for this job, but it's seemingly that the two guys leading the way, and he alluded to it here, would be Dexter McCluster and then also Devin Wiley. These guys seem to like Wiley a lot. So give me your thoughts on one of those two or both sharing times in the punt return game.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if they'll share time or not. I think they will in the preseason. But when you look at the two, you want to get somebody settled into the position. If Wiley can do it and he's going to be on the team, you like that because then maybe your hybrid guy with Dexter McCluster, who's going to be all over the field now, maybe you save some touches for him. That being said, I rather enjoyed that first punt of the new Arrowhead when it opened, and he took it for about 80. So that wouldn't get I wouldn't get tired of seeing that also. So I think it's a very nice problem to have in terms of having two guys who right now I think Coach Dave Tobe feels is capable of doing some good things from the return standpoint.
And I'm interested to see what Wiley can do now. Last year, the train never left the station with Wiley. He was hurt here in St. Joe with a hamstring, and that just kind of saddled him all throughout the year. But if you want to look at Devin Wiley at his best, you can find any search engine you want, but find his punt returns against Nebraska and against Boise State when he was at Fresno State, and you will see a Dexter-like return where he just leaves Nebraska in the dust and Lincoln. That was an impressive play. But again, trying to be explosive in the special teams game under Dave Tobe. Now, these guys you know well. We're going to go to the kicker, punter, snapper here. Let's just take them one at a time. Dustin Colquitt. Last year could have set an NFL record for punts inside the 20, but Dave Zastadil knocks him out on the last weekend. Dustin Colquitt, the team made a big investment in him in the offseason to keep him here. Overall, your feelings about Dustin?
Well, you know what? I think what best sums it up is what Coach Reed talked about in terms of how the punter, he said, is so important in today's game because you're trying to create that long field. He talked about Dustin getting the new contract and that it was worth every bit of it because he's so good at doing that. Folks, Dustin Colquitt is quite simply the best punter in the game, and there's no argument. I've not seen somebody do what
Leckler?
He does with the ball. What's that?
Shane Leckler?
No, I was going to say in the game, and I'm not going with Leckler. No, I'm just messing with you. Yeah, Leckler does a great job, but the one thing, Leckler, he's just booming it.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if it goes in the end zone or not, whereas Dustin, not that Leckler's not a team player. That's just what he does, or maybe they ask him to do. I don't know. But Dustin, I mean, you'll see him throw some shorter punts up there as well because it makes the most sense. And again, anytime you can put 45 inside the 20 and 20 inside the 10, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. A more interesting chat might be with Ryan Succop. Last year, Ryan missed 6 field goals. In fact, he's been in the league since 09. His best year for accuracy was his rookie season. He's missed 6 field goals the last 3 years, in 10, 11, and 12. But last year he missed 1 from 20 to 29 and 3 from 30 to 39. I'm a big Ryan Succop fan. And today he made most of them. They were doing a lot of field goal work today here in camp. I'm going to ask you the same question. What do you see when you think of Ryan Succop?
Well, you know what? What you bring up is the big thing. Inside 39, inside 40 yards, you need to be as near perfect as you can. And I think he would tell you the same thing because his leg easily goes back past 50, and he's pretty accurate with it, and he's done a good job from outside 40. But you've really got to hit everything inside 35 and really almost everything inside of 40 because that can be such a letdown to a team when you feel like you at least are going to get 3 and be able to go kick off and give the defense a long field to deal with. So I would say that's probably what he's working on, probably mentally. I see him out there with Coach Kevin O'Day, who handles the kicking side of things. Does a great job. I would say that's probably a focus they're talking about, and it would make sense. But in general, he's one of the better kickers in the league. There's no doubt.
Here's what I like about Ryan Succop. To me, he is a competitor. Mm-hmm. You played with Morton Anderson, maybe the best in the game, and everybody kind of thought, wow, Morton's this, you know, easy Scandinavian dude. But I got a sense he was a great competitor. Now, suck up to me as a competitor. Some kickers, let's be honest, can be a little flaky. They'd rather play Game of Thrones than anything else. Suck up comes out. He wants to win a game. How much of a competitor do you think Ryan Succop is?
He is a competitor, and you just said it. He wants to be able to kick that game-winning kick. That's what you want as a kicker. You want to be able to show them why you're here and what you're about. And that, I think it helps you even feel more a part of the team because, you know, you're only out there to kick off or to kick field goals and PATs. So you're not involved in things as much. So I think when you embrace that opportunity like he does, that's a good thing. It helps bring you into the fold with the team. And that's what you love. I mean, you only have to go back to the days of New England with Vinatieri and what he did for them and things of that nature. Kickers like that. You talked about Morton. You know, I played with Norm Johnson, Gary Anderson, some of these guys that were just fabulous kickers. And what you talk about is what I see in Ryan also in the fact of you talked about those kickers that are kind of odd. He's not that. He's just your everyday normal guy. And it's generally those guys who are so mentally stable that they stay in the league a long time because it just doesn't get to them.
Okay, now we're going to go. This is like going to bring in the culinary chef to speak to the first day of cooking school, and that is the snapper talking about snappers. You were the best to ever do it in the game's history. Let's put our screen back up there again and take a look at the two snappers in this camp. Thomas Gafford has played 73 consecutive games for this team, and somewhere we have that screen unless it's been deleted. But Brad Madison is also in this camp. Brad played at the University of Missouri, 16 sacks at Mizzou. But they decided to take him out of the D-line rotation, sent him over with a specialist. He is from the Chiefs Kingdom. He's from Bethany, Missouri. He played at South Harrison High School, not far from here, actually. But the whole snapping game here now. Now, I remember there were times here where there would be, after you left, there were like busfuls of guys. It looked like Mean Machine on the longest yard trying guys out. These two guys. Let's start with Gafford. What do you see with Thomas Gafford?
You know, I think he's gotten even more consistent. I think that's why they brought somebody in to challenge him and push him a little bit. And even Dave Tobe talked about the fact that since he's been in here, they've seen an improvement in terms of his location of the ball. Now, some of that's kind of odd when you look at where the ball is, because Dustin, most punters like to catch a ball at their waist, maybe on the right side. Dustin prefers the ball right here. So what may look to you like a high snap is actually right in the breadbasket for Dustin. He just prefers them right here. I don't know why it is. It's really, really different, but that's what he prefers. But, you know, in talking to Dave Tobe, I heard him comment on the fact that, you know, Madison is a little bit more developmental right now, and that really Thomas has done a nice job pulling away a little bit, doing some good things. And you do have a pretty good chemistry going the last several years between these three. So anything can happen, and I'm sure Madison will get his chance to do some things, and that's good because everybody's watching, and they're watching here as well. But I think Thomas has got the upper edge right now.
Okay. You just told me something, though, that makes me appreciate Thomas Gafford all the more. Give me your the strike zone that Colquitt wants.
Yeah, he likes the ball in here.
And that means the margin of error is only right here, and this up here is a problem.
It is a big problem because, you know, I you know, Dustin was a teammate of mine. I snapped to him, and when he let me know that he wanted the ball right here, I was like, whoa. Then, you know, I don't look when I snap the ball. I throw it and hope. But it's odd because you've only got about this much leeway, whereas if you're right here, you've got from here all the way down, and the fact is, you can throw a low ball, and if it's a good spiral, even if it hits the ground, it's going to skip and pop up, and you're going to be okay. I mean, you're going to get yelled at still, but you're not going to cause a crisis. Balls that go over the head, they cause crises, and it's not a fun thing. I never did it, and it was for a reason.
This is how far the crisis is.
Yeah,
this is what I'm saying.
I didn't do it because I didn't want to deal with it.
Okay, one last thing, though, with snapping, and it's underrated. But the rules now, you could have played 20 more years probably with these rules, they got to leave the snapper uncovered. Actually, on the gap on your outside shoulder, or it's a penalty, it can be unsportsmanlike conduct. So the people on punt block, let's just take punts, have got to be outside your shoulder and leave you protected. Coverage, 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 coverage. I hear repeatedly special teams coaches from their snapper because you're going down the center of the field. Your flyers, gunners are taken off.
Right.
What about coverage, and what's Gafford or Madison's role there?
Well, I always talked about it in my stance in terms of what I was doing. I was trying to be a sheepdog, and I wasn't necessarily going to get to the returner, but I was going to herd him one way or the other. You want to make sure that he doesn't have a chance to run full speed and hit it going, because then he can cut full speed. That's an issue. I've been around that too much. It's not a fun thing. So if you can just herd him one way or the other and give all the athletes on the team, you know, a chance to make the tackle, that's a big thing. I always joked about it. You know, maybe aside from the punter, long snapper is normally the worst athlete on the field at that time. And it is what it is. So, you know, back to your other point, though, in terms of not being able to hit the snapper, I fully expect in a couple of years they're actually going to require the defensive line to bring out a bottle of Gatorade for them before the snap. I mean, they're taking care of the snapper so well these days, it's unbelievable.
I was thinking a foot massage maybe right before the snap just to help him out, or a hand massage, a little manicure. You okay? It's time to snap the ball. All right, it's time to play a preseason game. Looking forward to this. Great job in walking us through camp up to this point. We've been here nearly 2 weeks, but now it's time to get after the New Orleans Saints. And we'll come back on Sunday. The team's schedule, just so that you know, the team has a day off tomorrow. They will have a closed session to get ready for New Orleans and fly to New Orleans that same day on Thursday, play the Saints, day off Saturday. If you're coming to watch practice in St. Joe, it will not happen again until Sunday, and we'll be back to an 8:15 practice. But here we go, and what do you think? Final thoughts before you get ready for the Saints.
I just can't wait to get out there and see them against somebody else to where they're not used to who they're playing against, because that's both good and bad. It's good because you got new blood, and it's bad when you're playing the same person all the time because you start to fall into some lulls because you just know what they're going to do. So it's not quite the real thing, but we're getting closer.
You played for three teams in the league. Two of them will meet in this game, the Saints and the Chiefs. For Kendall Gammon, I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday night edition of Chiefs Live here in St. Joe.
This is a dorm room, but it's not an ordinary dorm room. Here, the lights are on at sunrise, and they're off at dark, because at this school, the last thing you want to do is fail. This is Chiefs training camp at Missouri Western State University. Classes are now in session.